this week has been a week of talking about real stuff. Like actual things that I don't have to imagine myself dealing with, and I don't have to imagine you dealing with. They're things that I know I will deal with, that I have dealt with and I will continue to deal with, and things that I know that you have dealt with, are dealing with, and will continue to deal with. This began, this journey through real stuff, Wednesday night at our Unafraid study, talking about a couple of different sources of fear this time. One was a fear of disappointing people, and the other was the fear of failure. Both of those are really particular kinds of fears, and I think fears that revisit us over time, and those aren't something that happens somewhere else. Those are things that happen within us, the fear of failure, the fear of disappointing others. And to say it with a slightly different twist, with a different word, replace the word fear with the word worry, and you have the word that is the key to the scripture passage that we read this morning, and the key to what we're going to think about this morning. Worry. Worry and fear are in many ways interchangeable. When you talk about the feeling that comes along with being afraid of something, or you talk about the feeling, the anxiety that comes with being worried about something, if you test how your stomach feels when you're in the midst of it, that feeling is going to be kind of similar a lot of the time. There are things in the world that we fear. There are things that are out there that go on that we are rightfully fearful of. And so among those, if I was to name some of those things, I think quickly terrorism would be one of the things we would name. Living in a post 9/11 world for many years now, terrorism continues to be something that is happening both overseas and happens here. But the different acts of terror, that's something that happens out there. War has been going on forever. I don't know that there was ever a time where there was people that they didn't divide themselves into groups and go to war with one another. But it is a constant source of concern. Other external sources of concern, things like poverty. How do we deal with people who are in need in our communities and in the world? And what do we do as a people about these kinds of things? The fire burning out in California, which is just devastating and awful, which comes not that far past where our attention was all turned towards the horrible hurricane and the terrible damage that it did. And we're talking there about two things that affect our country, knowing that there are other places that are going through similar things that maybe we aren't as aware of because they aren't happening here, but it doesn't make them any less something that to have in our minds that causes either us or someone in the world fear. All these things are real. However, all those things are things that you may or may not have to deal with today. That you may or may not have to deal with this week or this month or in your life, even if you're fortunate. Many of those things you may avoid. Those are outside things, outside events that happen. The things that we're talking about this morning, the worry-inducing things, when I say that it's real, what I mean is that as I was saying to the group on Wednesday night, there is never a time that you are not with yourself. If you are awake, you are with yourself. And so you always, whatever is going on with you, you can't leave that and go somewhere else and meet yourself later. You always have that. So even if you are joyful about something, if there's something going on that's hard, it's not as though that's left your mind. And so when I'm saying that it's real, what I mean is that you always, if you are fearful about something, you can't just be unfearful all of a sudden. You have to work your way through it because it's there, it's you, and you have to be the one that is dealing with it. So they're not out there things, they are inside things, stuff that's going on within us. And our ability to worry is not contingent on external sources. We don't need anything outside of ourselves. in order to be able to summon up all sorts of things that concern us, that maybe make us fearful, but certainly can cause us to worry. Have you ever in your life gone a year without worry?
No.
Just a worry-free year. A worry-free month. Have you ever had a month where you say, that was a worry-free month? A week, even a day,
no.
A worry-free day. It's hard to imagine. It really is hard. The New Testament scholar, N.T. Wright, reflecting on this passage that we read this morning, says this about worry. He says, living totally without worry sounds to many people as impossible as living totally without breathing. See that? Totally without breathing. So I'm pretty sure that nobody's gone any of those amounts of time without breathing. We have to do that. That's a part of what we do. In the same way, it's almost unimaginable to think that we will escape even a day without having something that concerns us to the point that we would say, that is anxiety, that is worry. I think he's right. I think he is correct about that. And I think that most people imagine, would struggle to imagine a life without worry. At the same time, we know what I'm about to say is true. We know that worry is harmful to us. Worry can eat at us. Worry causes problems for our life, and specifically, worry is very capable of inflicting damage on faith. Worry really can do damage to faith. Another writer, a guy named Craig Gresham, who's also a pastor, uses the term Christian atheist. Set those two things next to each other. That sounds odd, doesn't it? Christian atheist. So what does he mean by a Christian atheist? On the one hand, emphasizing the Christian piece, he says that as Christians, we would claim, and I don't think he's wrong about this, we claim that God provides all that we need. I say some version of that almost every Sunday. I suspect that as you've talked about your faith, you've probably said some version of that and meant it. God provides all that I need. God is the one who provides. At the same time, and I will say, I don't have to be talking about you, I can be talking about me when I say that while I have said God provides all that I need, I will also say that I worry at times that I will not have what I need. We worry at times that we will not have, in some particular instance, the thing that we need. And in that, you can see the tension. The Christian atheist, which is to say, worry means we don't trust in God in the way that we claim. Like, I can tell you all day long that I trust in God's provision, but when this event happens or that event happens, and all of a sudden I'm not quite sure how you deal with this, there's a part of me that bails on that God's provision thing, and I start paddling faster and trying to bail out the canoe and figure out, how do I do this? Forgetting that I'm not the one that's going to provide. Now, I say that not so that we will feel judged. I don't say that as though I really need to be harsh with myself and with you. I don't think that's a harsh word. I think what it is a realistic word. Because I do think that we all are subject to worry, and I do think that at the same time, we all want to trust in and lean on God. And what we've just said is really not meant to be judgmental at all, but what it's meant is to be a suggestion of the reality of what we're up against. This is real. This is really the things that we have to go through on a daily basis. So that when we come to a scripture like the one this morning, from the Sermon on the Mount, a little piece of the Sermon on the Mount, you can understand why so many people would flock out to see Jesus. Why Jesus was such a compelling figure. And yes, it's because he healed people, but it's also because he was saying things that spoke to actual circumstances of people's actual lives in ways that helped them to understand what they were dealing with, and how it was possible to maybe move to a different place or a better place or a more productive place. So right before what we read this morning, Jesus says this, and you're familiar probably with these words. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other." You cannot serve God and wealth. Now you might think after Jesus says this, you can't serve two masters, you cannot serve God and wealth, that what he's going to talk about next is going to be money. Except that what he goes into next is what we read this morning, and it is all about worry. And what I would suggest to you is that what Jesus is saying is not so much that having to do specifically with you can't serve God and money, as he's saying, you can't serve God and worry at the same time. What he's pointing to is the reality that that worry thing is always there, and it threatens to be the thing that we say, I'm going to hook my wagon to this particular star. I'm going to be consumed with worry rather than being consumed with the trust in God. And so Jesus points around to things that they can look and see and tells them, first, things that are, again, they're not dramatic things, that they're simple, everyday things. He says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat, what you will drink. Don't worry about your body, what you will wear. And then he says, God, the God we love, the God who loves you, takes care of the birds. God takes care of the flowers. And if God takes care of the birds and the flowers, surely God will take care of you, who are much more beloved to God than the birds or the flowers. But then he continues on, and in this way, this little verse, which is a little section at the end of this sentence, which is really important to hear because we can be lifted up by this, but we need to hear what Jesus says because it sort of echoes what I was talking about a moment ago when I used that term from Craig Gröschel, the Christian atheist idea. Jesus says that worry that the people that were listening to him have, worry that we have, worry is a sign of weak faith. Ouch, Jesus. That's hard to hear. Last week and this week, we have been considering stewardship, and we dedicated pledges this morning as part of stewardship. And stewardship, talking about how we think about the gifts that God has given to us and how we put them to use, how we use them in ways that show that we understand that these are blessings given to us by God, and that now we've been given the responsibility of going forth and using them in positive and productive ways. This is, at this point, why Jesus says that bit about two masters and then goes on and talks about worry, because he knows that we won't be able to fully and freely share our gifts if we are worried about God's gifts having an expiration date on them. If we have an anxiety within us that I'm going to lose this is going to go away, that this is mine and there's only a limited amount of it, I'm going to be uninclined to trust that I need to share it with someone else. But if I can get to that place where I can trust the God who provides, will continue to provide, then we can put ourselves in a position to trust God and to enjoy God's gifts. It means, in a way, as we listen to Jesus, trusting that the God who cares for us is the same God who so magnificently blessed the birds and the flowers. There's a great Scottish pastor who was prolific writing about the books of the New Testament, William Barclay. And he talks about worry in this way. First, he says, worry about the past is useless. Worrying about things that have already happened, you can consume all kinds of time doing that, and it will change nothing. The thing that has already happened is behind us, and so we are not helping ourselves. Worry for the past is useless. Then Barclay turns the other direction and he says, worry about the future is useless. And the reason he says worry about the future is useless, he says, is that when you worry about the future, what you end up doing often is worrying about a whole variety of futures that never happen. You don't know what that future will be, so to worry about it is worrying about a thing that may never actually occur. But then he gets to a really important point. It's kind of the bottom line, where what he says is that beyond worrying being useless, beyond worrying about the past being useless, beyond worrying about the future being useless, he said worry is another thing. Worry is actually worse than useless. His words, it is actively injurious. That would sound much better if I was Scottish and saying it. He says worry is actively injurious. And what he means is that worry is attacking us. Worry is out to hurt us. It is out to do damage to us. Worry is debilitating. We think about debilitating, you think about physical things going on, like maybe my hip is giving way, or my knees are going bad, or these kinds of things. But what he's saying is, worry is debilitating to our soul. It eats away at us. Worry impacts our ability to do things. Think about a time when you really were worried about something, when you're really consumed with worry about something. Were you able to do the other things that you needed to do at that time with the same amount of goodwill and ability that you would have done them had you not been worried? The worry holds you back. The worry weighs on you. It limits the way you're able to think because it's taking up so much of your attention. Worry is debilitating in this way. And what worry becomes then, there is a word for that. Worry becomes our master. This is what Jesus was speaking of when Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. He knows that something is going to have the upper hand. And when worry becomes the all-consuming force of our life, just by, we don't make a decision that says, I really want to follow worry today, but it's what we do. It's who we are at that point. If worry is managing my life, God cannot be. I have given worry the place of manager. I read about a businessman, a British businessman this week. His name is J. Arthur Rank, and I've never heard of him. He was an interesting guy, but he came up with a practice that was useful and on point for what we're talking about. He decided that worry was a problem for him. And so he decided that he was only going to worry one day a week. And so, being a person of some success and having accomplished things before, he set out, now that I've made this decision, here's how I will do this. So what he decided was he would write down, if something happened, for instance, on Monday, that he was going to worry about, he would write it down, and then he'd put it into his worry box, and then let go of it. And so this would go on throughout the week. Anytime he was going to worry about something, he'd write it down and then put it into his worry box. And he designated Wednesday as the day when he would worry. So on Wednesday, he would open up his worry box. And the thing that he discovered after several weeks of doing this was just a wonderful insight into the amount of energy we put into worry and what we're actually accomplishing by doing it. What he learned was that when he opened that box, what he oftentimes would pull out were things that had resolved themselves. Things that were no longer a source of concern. Or things that never happened. Things that never came down the pike and came to fruition. Jesus' words in this passage this morning are meant to assure us that the master we want to serve is not worry. That we have a better master, one who wants what is best for us. And so the master that Jesus says, that Jesus suggests to that crowd, that Jesus offers up for us, the master that we want to serve is the one who sees to it that the birds are taken care of. The one who makes the grass and the flowers, provides all that beauty and clothes them in such beauty. That God, That God is that's who we want to be our master, because the God who cares for those birds, who provides the beauty of those flowers, cares all the more for us and invites us to live a life not built on worry, but built on trust and on faith, understanding that it is a constant and ongoing project for us, but knowing that with grace and with love, day by day, we can get there. Thanks be to God.